Hey, it's Joey. I'm here with Matthew. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joey. Thank you very much for being here with me today.
So, Matthew, it's IT Pro Week.
Yep.
You're a dev guy.
Yep.
How the heck did they let you into this place?
Well, I wore black clothes and snuck in at night so they didn't see me coming.
Ninja Matthew?
In all honesty, I've been doing more SQL Server work for the last 5 years or so than I've been doing any other type of development. And as a lot of your IT Pro audience falls onto the DBA or database administrator side of things, there's really both a natural fit for the SQL Server professionals here at IT Pro Week, and also for me, it was very tough to decide, should I go to Dev Week and get the more dev-focused SQL content? Should I come to IT Pro Week? Microsoft sort of made it easy for me, and I ended up attending both weeks. So basically, I'm here primarily to talk about SQL Server integration services. I've got two breakout sessions later this week, doing an interactive theater session tomorrow, and it's really the focus that I want to explain to the IT professionals why SQL Server integration services is A, the best thing that they've ever used, and C, something that they're really that's important and that they should be interested in.
Okay, so before you can go off and you can say SQL Server integration servers is the best thing we've ever used, first, how about you tell the IT Pro audience what SQL Server Integration Services is.
So SQL Server Integration Services is what data transformation services wanted to be when it grew up.
And that makes absolutely no sense to me, so pretend you're talking to somebody who really has no idea what's going on.
So back in the day, about 10 years ago, with SQL Server 7.0, Microsoft introduced SQL Server Data Transformation Services, or DTS. And DTS was Microsoft's first attempt at an ETL tool, so extract, transform, and load. So picture you've got two different applications, two different databases, and you've got to get data from point A to point B, and you've got to usually do something with it along the way because it's stored differently, it's shaped differently in the two different databases. So DTS was kind of like the V1 Microsoft tool, and you know, sometimes Microsoft gets things right the very first time, sometimes not quite. And to be honest with you, even though I hated DTS, for what you paid for it, it was a great deal. Free included with SQL Server, so a lot of people, especially a lot of DBAs, they used it, they loved it, but the problem was it was a simple tool for solving simple jobs. And as the data explosion has taken place over the last 10 years, we're not talking gigabytes worth of data, we're talking terabytes worth of data. We're not talking about point A to point B, we're talking about points A, B, and C to points X, Y, and Z, and everything in between, real data warehousing scenarios. So the things where today's DBA has lots of different databases to manage, things are much more complex than they used to be, DTS just wasn't keeping up with the change in pace. So with SQL Server 2005, Microsoft introduced SQL Server Integration Services. So it's basically a brand new tool set. So they gutted it, built it from the ground up. There's still, if you look at the documentation, especially the developer documentation, sometimes the name DTS still shows up under the hood, but there's no DTS code, brand new tool set. So the plus side is it's not a simple tool anymore. It's something that you can use to solve real problems, real enterprise scale data integration problems. But the downside is there's a learning curve. So data transformation services was something that you could sit down and in 10 minutes or half an hour, figure out what was going on, and as long as you had a simple problem to solve, you could probably get it done. With integration services, it's not always quite so straightforward.
So Matthew, with SSIS, is this purely a DBA tool, or is there a place for it in a normal enterprise IT pro's arsenal of tools?
Well, let's picture this. An enterprise manager back in the day, you'd right-click on a table and choose import-export data, right?
Right.
It would spin up the import-export wizard, and you'd enter some stuff, and data would move around, and
sure,
it was done. With SQL Server 2005 and SQL Server 2008, that import-export wizard that you now launch from SQL Server Management Studio, basically what it does is it creates an integration services package. So this is something that, whether or not you really want to learn integration services, you'll be using it one way or another. So the more that you learn about it, the better advantage you can take of the power behind the tool.
So let's talk a little bit deeper and go into a little bit more detail about some of the SSIS stuff that maybe you're presenting here, or some of the things that really can help us dig a little deeper without having to go through hours upon hours of training.
Well, let's go through maybe the top three or four concepts
for
integration services. So first of all, I mentioned the term package earlier. So a package is what you run. It's what you execute in integration services. There is a command line utility called DTExec, so data transformation, sort of the old DTS name bleeding through again. So DT execute. So DT exec.exe, you put in the path to the package, put in some command line options, it'll run the package to do whatever logic you've implemented, usually moving data around. So the package is what does the work. Inside the package, there's two main components. And in DTS, and did you ever use DTS?
Very, 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 very little.
So picture this. This is what drove me crazy. You'd have this one design surface, so one screen, mm-hmm. and you'd have the little icons and the arrows going between them.
Yes.
And some of those arrows meant do this and then do this and then do this. And some of the arrows meant move stuff from here to here to here. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was always very confusing. It was very anti-intuitive. They have these different things next to each other, and it was a big pain in the butt for me. So with integration services, we've got these two main concepts, each one of which has its own designer. The first one is called control flow. So control flow, you have little boxes called tasks, and you can basically build up the logic. So there's an execute SQL task, so run a SQL script, mm-hmm. select statement, insert, update, delete, whatever. There's a send mail task, so send email connects up to an SMTP server. There's lots of different tasks to do, the types of things that you'd want to do if you had like a nightly job that you wanted to run to move data around. So, and as an aside, database maintenance plans are now implemented as integration services packages
well.
So, if they have a separate set of tasks, but it's the same metaphor underneath. So the other surface is, the other component is the data flow. So control flow is building up your logic. Data flow is actually moving the data around. So it has its own boxes, but they're components instead of tasks, and it has its own arrows that connect them. But instead of being precedence constraints to say do this if this condition is met, mm-hmm. it's basically these are the paths that the data flows down. There's three main components inside the data flow. The first one is a data source. So this is where you're getting your data from. There are data sources for SQL Server, ODB sources, ADO.NET sources, flat file sources, Excel sources. So for the most part, wherever your data is, you can get data out of it. Then in the middle, there are transformations. So there are things like a derived column transformation. So you want to take these two columns and calculate them, maybe to take first name and last name and put it into full name as an example. Mm-hmm. There are some more complicated things like a sort or aggregate. So if you're getting data out of a text file, you can't do an order by clause in a text file. So integration services gives you the ability to sort the data in memory as part of the data flow. Or there's an aggregate transformation so that you can do a group by and say, give me the count of orders per customer, something along those lines. Lots of different things that you can do in between. And then there's destination components where you put the data. So OLEDB, SQL Server, flat file, lots of different things. So basically, you can go from point A to point B regardless of what they are. And because you've got these two different design surfaces, you've got control flow and data flow, it's split up, it's a lot more logical, a lot easier to maintain, and you can actually have multiple data flows per package. So picture a scenario where you're getting information. So let me actually back up a step. So you're an IT guy. You
yes.
you care about all the information from your infrastructure. So you use SMS and MOM or System Center as
right.
it is now. You use network monitoring software. You probably have first and second tier support people who take care of the help desk itself, but the help desk or service desk software, Remedy, Mercury, whatever, these are things that are very relevant to an IT professional's life. So I work as a data architect for ConfigureSoft Incorporated. So their flagship product is something called Enterprise Configuration Manager. It does patch management, compliance, change management, and so on. It generates huge volumes of data. I'm actually working with a team at ConfigureSoft to take that data plus SMS, MOM, System Center, Voyance, Remedy, Mercury, yada, 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 and roll them up into a centralized data warehouse to bring the power of business intelligence to information technology. It's an amazing project to work on. So sort of crossing both sides of the gap there. And in that scenario, you can have data usually coming from the source system into a staging database, because you want to keep a record of what it looked like when it came out, and then load it up into the data warehouse where you get data from all these different source systems coming in. So you can have a single package that would go from the source system to the staging database, from the staging database to the data warehouse, or even go from the source system and inside the same data flow go to multiple destinations with different transformations along the way. Lots of different ways that you can put it together, but the things that are capable of being done now are so much greater than they ever were with DTS.
Very cool. So it's the ultimate tool of moving data around.
Yeah. Well, I would say that there with SQL Server 2008, Microsoft has really shown that there's no competition, at least on the performance side. So have you seen any of the benchmarks that they've done?
I've not seen any.
So this is something that I pay a lot of attention to. So I do integration services more than anything else. And at the LA launch event back in February, this was one of the biggest news items, at least of interest to me, is that with the February CTP release, so pre-release software of SQL 2008, they did a TCP benchmark moving more than 2 terabytes an hour worth of data using SQL Server integration services. So I think that I do a pretty good job when I'm moving a couple million records per minute. So and they probably had more hardware budget than I do.
Yeah, right.
But showing that both SQL Server 2008 as the destination and integration services as the pipeline to get the data there, that they can scale to volumes that, you know, only the you know, 0.1% of all the enterprise customers out there would ever need multiple terabytes an hour. But, you know, the software is not even shipping yet, and it's already, you know, setting the ground speed record for ETL. So it's an amazing tool set. But there's something of a drawback. So that was
my next question. You know me too well.
There's two gotchas. So from an IT professional's perspective, the main gotcha is that the tool that you work with when you're building SSIS packages is Visual Studio. So... And when you're an IT pro, it's like, oh, Visual Studio, that's that developer tool.
I think I just started to sweat here.
I get the itch. I'm allergic to that. So the nice thing is they did two things to make it so that it's a little bit more DBA friendly. The first thing is they have a separate start menu shortcut. So it says Business Intelligence Development Studio. So this is where you go in to build your reporting services reports, your analysis services cubes, or your integration services packages, but it's really Visual Studio under the hood. So it's a little putting a little makeup on the pig, as it were. But the other thing that they did that was very nice is they came up with a set of designers. So all of the tools that you interact with inside of Visual Studio, they work the way that a developer like me would want them to work, but they also have a lot of usability features so that if you just need to get in and get the job done, if you spend a little time seeing what tools are where, it's not nearly as difficult or as complicated as working with C# or ASP.NET, for example. So it's not that big of a deal. The other thing is, since Microsoft built all of the tools and all of the platform from the ground up with SQL Server 2005, a lot of the tools are kind of V1 tools again. So one of my sessions later this week is on integration services deployment. And as a developer, you know developers, we like to write code and throw it over the wall. And
Hope it sticks.
Yeah, to heck with you guys. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'd like to think that I'm not that guy. But basically... as a presenter, I get asked to speak at users groups and code camps and things like that. And usually what I would like to do is to say, I really only want to talk about integration services because I do it 60 hours a week, so I don't need to prep for anything, and say, what integration services topic would you like me to present on? And the majority of the time, they say deployment. And there's a lot of deployment tools that are available, but there's also a lot of false starts, or as I like to say, poison candy in the deployment tool set. So there are tools like there's a deployment wizard or deployment utility. There's tools inside of Visual Studio called data sources that let you reuse connection information. And these things are great as long as you're not working in the real world. Think about it. You're a trainer. I'm a trainer. Sometimes you need a quick and dirty demo.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to put something together as a proof of concept. These things are great there. But let's say the deployment utility, for example, it gives you, you have a project property that you set that basically says, make deployment utility, create deployment utility. If you do that, it creates a deployment manifest file, so project name .deployment manifest. You double click on it. It loads up a nice wizard. You click through and say, I want to deploy these packages to this location, blah, blah, blah. Test it when it's done. It's great. But the problem is it's not able to be automated at all. So when you are deploying software, you want, and if you're doing it just on your own workstation, you don't care if you've got to, pick the directory and enter a couple right. options. But if you're deploying it from your dev environment to your test environment to your prod environment onto multiple servers, you want something that you can create batch files, that you can script, have tested inputs, test your deployment and be able to roll it out with some automated utility and not need to go through and click on it every time. And sadly, the tools to do that are the ones that aren't advertised quite as heavily. So the nice thing is, as IT pros, you're used to working at the command line.
Yeah.
So Integration Services has a command line utility called DTUtil, so the Data Transformation Utility. It will deploy packages into either SQL Server or to the file system, wherever you want to have them deployed to. And there's really, there's not any best way to put it. It comes down to who's going to manage it. If it's the developers who are going to manage it, usually I would say go to the file system. If it is the database administrator who's going to manage it, put it in the database, because that's what he's used to backing up and restoring and so on. But DTUtil will allow you to programmatically deploy the packages. So you say, here's my source package, here's where I want to deploy it to, here are the options. You make a batch file, put it under source control, it just works.
Okay.
And for the most part, between DTUtil, copy, using setx, for example, to create environment variables, very easy to put together a low-tech, low-effort, but reproducible and testable deployment. And that's really, you know, it's sort of the goal, but it's not something that's really obvious until you've banged your head against the sexy tool. So
right.
the pretty GUI, you bang your head against the pretty GUI and realize it's not going to go where you want it to go.
Yep.
That's when you step back and look and see what the real tools are all about.
So where can folks go to get more information about SSIS? Where can we go if we really want to make this tool a part of our day-to-day lives?
The best place to go is actually SQL Server Books Online, the documentation that ships with the product. And this is, I think, the best documentation that has come out of Microsoft in years. Microsoft, and not the whole SSIS documentation, but Microsoft put together a five-step tutorial called Creating a Simple ETL Package Using SSIS. And it basically starts you off with a set of text files and a destination database using the AdventureWorks samples. So everything is included right with the SQL Server install. So you build a package to move data from a text file into a database. You update it to loop over a group of text files in a directory into the same database. You then update it to use something called configurations, which let you put values like the folder where your text files are located, or a connection string, or an SMTP server address, to put those things into either an XML file, the registry, a SQL database, so that you can then have location independence, the same packages that you can run in dev, test, or prod without needing to actually open up the packages to edit them. So it basically builds it up so that you can loop across the files, add configurations, add error redirections. So if there's a problem record, you can dump it off to a database. It basically walks you through a good 75 or 80% of what you need to know. By the time you're done, it'll take you an hour or two to go through, but you've touched all the tools. You've built something that is real world. And from my experience, getting that text file data in, you know, it's everybody has to do it.
Yeah.
And it was something to do the looping across the files in a folder was always a pain in DTS. So It will get your familiarity up, and so by the time you're done, you've used the tools, you built something real, you're going to be confident to attack your own data integration problem. That's the best place to start.
Books online. Can't get any better than that.
Absolutely.
All right, Matthew. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Take care.